Good morning. This is Borough Councilman John Lester. I'll be speaking with John Kaplan and Dan Borgo to better understand the impact of the Board of Education's proposed expansion projects on our property taxes. But before I introduce these gentlemen, let's set some expectations. This discussion came about because there seems to be some uncertainty in the community about the potential financial impact of these projects. So this is not intended to provide an in-depth understanding of the rationale for the projects, nor a detailed explanation of the costs. There are a number of sources for this information, and we encourage you to find and review them. But we will provide some baseline knowledge to help facilitate the discussion. So with that, let me introduce my guest. John Kaplan is a Mountain Lakes Board of Education member. In that role, he chairs the board's finance committee and serves on the Special Committee for the Long-Term Needs, the Facilities Committee, the Extracurricular and Athletics Committee, and the Policy Committee. On the municipal side, John chairs the borough's Finance Advisory Committee, and in the community is treasurer of Laker Sports Club. John's subject matter expertise was gained through 30 years on Wall Street in the investment banking field with such firms as Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, and Citicorp. John has lived in town since 1997 with his wife, Mimi. Their two sons are members of the Mountain Lakes High School classes of 2015 and 2018. Daniel Borgo is business administrator for the Mountain Lakes Board of Education as well as the board secretary. Dan has held the position of business administrator in Mountain Lakes since 2006, after holding the same position in the West Essex Regional School District for 16 years. Dan has a BA from Monmouth University and a Master's in Educational Leadership from Keene College. He and his wife, Robin, live in Randolph and have two children. Impressive credentials for both of you. Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to help everybody understand the topic. For starters, would you be so kind to provide some brief background? Why did the Board of Ed embark on this analysis?
Happy to do that. This is John Kaplan speaking. After completing an evaluation of our long-term facility needs with a focus on curricular enhancements for technology-rich classrooms, expanded athletic facilities, and improved arts facilities, we believe that our school district is in need of an extensive referendum to improve the programs that we offer students in each of our schools. We are currently working with the FKA architectural firm to create a fiscally responsible design that will ensure our schools will match the needs of our students for the 21st century. This is a program-driven referendum. With the exception of necessary improvements to school security and bathroom facilities, the proposed design includes renovation and expansion of instructional spaces that will improve the quality and breadth of our program offerings K through 12. We're contending with aging facilities in several areas. Our facilities are inadequate and in need of significant repairs. We also are using makeshift classrooms. Many of our programs take place in spaces not intended for instruction. We also have program limitations. Our students' curricular options at the high school are limited due to the lack of instructional space, and we have not removed any of the temporary classroom units that were put in place during the 2003 referendum, because they are still heavily used. And our buildings were constructed prior to the current crisis in school security. So we are considering in a substantial investment in school security improvement, which is needed in all of our schools.
So would you say that the focus then is on bringing the Mountain Lakes schools up to a certain current level that you feel we're behind, or is it looking towards the future and ensuring that we remain competitive? Help me understand that one.
I would say both, Councilman, because the last investment we made in our schools, as I noted before, was in 2003, and that was a $16 million referendum, roughly $10 million of which was bonded. And that was in 2003. I guess it was 15.6, 10.9 was funded by the borough, and 4.7 was funded by the state. But we haven't invested, as I said, since then, but we're also looking to invest in the future and bring our classrooms up to 21st century standards. And maybe I can elaborate on some of the specifics that we are considering, which may help answer that question.
No, be my guest. That sounds like it would be helpful.
In addition to the mention of school security upgrades at all the schools, the specific items we're considering in each of the various buildings include the following. So starting with the high school, we'd look to remove the temporary classrooms, all of which are outdated, and currently the state will let us leave them there. We can't use them for instructional space any longer. So we're looking at a net addition of 12 classrooms in the high school. We're also looking to relocate the Board of Ed offices, I should add, to the school to free up space and the borough to help the borough with its expansion or incremental needed space. But back to program needs, we're looking at renovation of the auditorium, which was built, I believe, in 1950. I may have that wrong, but it was done at a very minimal cost. In the 1970s, excuse me, and it was constructed under a tight budget, so if anybody has been in the auditorium, they know what the acoustics are like, even for council meetings that we hold there when we have large crowds. There's a lot of needs as it relates to the auditorium, including expansion of the stage, creation of a stagecraft area, to bring the auditorium into a level that meets the standards of other J District schools. Renovation of the choral room, addition of a smaller multi-purpose auditorium would be a nice to have, so we don't have to close the media center when we bring in guest speakers or we have testing for PARC or AP exams, the media center being our library at the high school. We're also looking at creating some seating space in the auxiliary gym. When that was constructed, there was no seating in there, so it makes it limited use for team events. It's perfectly fine for practices, but that's an addition. The other thing that never occurred in the last referendum that was voted down was updates and expansion of our cafeterias and kitchens. At the high school, doing something like that would help us eliminate potentially half of the periods that we currently have for lunch period. We have 6 lunch periods at the high school to accommodate the students. If we can cut that down to 3, it gives us a massive ability in terms of creating scheduling flexibility, which is huge in terms of enhancing the curriculum. So the simple thing is changing a cafeteria and kitchen can actually enhance instruction. When we look at Briarcliff, from the security perspective, we're looking at relocating the main office close to the entry vestibule or adjacent to the entry vestibule to enhance security, as opposed to allowing visitors to come into the school and walk down a corridor. They could go in a lot of different directions before they actually check in the office. Not healthy for current safety standards. Expansion and renovation of their kitchen and cafeteria. Both Briarcliff and Wildwood kitchens were constructed in an era when kids were primarily going home to eat lunch. So those facilities are really inadequate to handle the current flow of students who buy lunch or eat lunch in the cafeteria. Both schools have multiple lunch periods as well, which has an impact in reducing flexibility in scheduling. Also at Briarcliff, we're looking at renovation of the art room, the multi-purpose room / gym, and the locker rooms. Also the creation of a 6th grade science lab, choir room, band room, and maker spaces.
John, if we could stay in Briarcliff just for 1 second, when's the last time that facility had a major renovation? Was that in 2006 also?
Well, the last referendum was in 2003, and the addition was put on to Briarcliff, I believe it was in 1998 when it was expanded. So that's the last significant increase in expansion at Briarcliff. And that's a beautiful structure, so anything we do, we're highly sensitive to maintaining the architectural integrity and historical value of that building.
But that's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate that.
Sure. And then at Wildwood, the creation of a band and art room, an additional classroom, there's consideration for an outdoor learning center. As I mentioned, the renovation of bathrooms is something that would occur at Wildwood. But also the main office would be adjusted for security reasons. And then we're looking at a new technology lab and library space to limit the flow of traffic through the wheel, which is the round portion of the building at the end where there's a lot of disruption to classes that are in the wheel because there's the library right in the center and it's heavily used. And also expansion of the kitchen and cafeteria. Now, one other component that is a big part of this is the creation of what we refer to as the Health and Wellness Center. And this is a facility which, through feedback from the community, we've adjusted location to now being behind the high school near the Project Adventure course near the softball and baseball field, as opposed to down at the Wilkins Field turf. The space would include a trainer's office, a rehab center, two very large locker rooms, and storage area, two classrooms that will serve as health classes during the day and team video viewing rooms after school, and a few coaches' office. The concept of the Health and Wellness Center is to centralize our athletic facilities, or athletic programs, excuse me, and give much-needed space for instruction at both Briarcliff and the high school. And what I mean by that is that if we move the herd football and the boys lacrosse team out of the Briarcliff locker room, we're freeing up almost 2,000 square feet of space that can be utilized for instructional space at Briarcliff. It also will free up space within the high school if we're moving the locker rooms and some of the athletic facilities, such as the rehab center, into the Health and Wellness Center. And by the way, relocating the football and boys' locker room, they're moving out of a locker room that was last renovated in 1936. And moving out of Briarcliff also avoids the issue of sharing that space, but traffic congestion at Briarcliff after school as all the athletes approach to get changed and ready for practice. It also enhances school security because we don't need to leave that locker room door entryway into the building open during practices. And most importantly, as I said, the increased instructional space. So it's more of a long-winded summary of what we have, but I wanted to provide that.
But I think what comes through loud and clear, and we can get into it in a different point, and we'll talk about this actually at the end, is there are a lot of moving parts on this thing. And that's probably why this is as fluid as it is from a numbers perspective. So let's jump right into the numbers then. So this $30 million number is floating around town, and it's causing people concern. So help us understand, where'd that come from? Is it really relevant? What does the number look like? Help us get our heads around that one.
Look, at the beginning of the school year last year, the administration held meetings with school principals, department heads, and faculty to get their input on what facility renovations and additions they felt were necessary to ensure our schools will match the needs of our students in the 21st century. From those discussions, we created a quote-unquote wish list of needs. We went out with an RFP to architects, and we had 12 or 13 firms come back to us and submitted responses to our RFP, and we provided them general parameters of the things that we were looking at. From that group of 12, we narrowed it down to a group of 6. We went out on site visits to view their work at different schools and see how they handled some of the things that are on our wish list. And from that group, we narrowed it down to 3 who made detailed presentations and recommendations, including costs, to provide all the items on, again, the so-called wish list, which encompassed everything that we were looking for. And from this group of 3, we selected FKA. The numbers that were coming back from the 3 firms were in and around $30 million if we were to encompass everything we wanted. I should add that in the spring of this year, we formed a steering committee, which includes over 70 town residents, board members, and school employees. The majority of the participants are residents of the town. And the subcommittees have led a variety of outreach efforts, which included superintendent chats, building tours in the various subcommittee presentations at board meetings and neighborhood gatherings. We've had many of those where we've talked about these items. And from those sessions, we've gathered a lot of feedback, and we've made adjustments to the plans. As I indicated earlier, from that feedback, we shifted the location of the potential Health and Wellness Center, and we've made other adjustments along the way. So currently, as it stands, as of today, the referendum proposal has a total cost of actually $29.4 million. The movement of the Health and Wellness Center actually resulted in about $500,000 to $750,000 of reduced costs. So we're looking at roughly $15 million of work at the high school, $4.5 million at Briarcliff, $5.9 million at Wildwood, and the Health and Wellness Center is estimated to be about $4 million or a little less. We estimate that roughly 32% of the project will be funded by the state of New Jersey. And what that means is that we can talk about it more on the timeline. Before we go out to the community with a referendum, we will know from the state how much of this project they will fund. So the net funding number, let's say hypothetically, we're at 29.4 for the total project cost. The borrowing cost, if we get 32% funding from the state, the amount that the board would actually borrow is just under $20 million. So that's an important combination of numbers.
Yeah, that is. It's a very important combination that you just took $10 million off the table.
That's the critical component. And we will know, going into the referendum, how much state funding we have. That will be a certainty, because we have to know how much we're going to go out and request or ask the public to support.
So let's stay on that for just a second. So you're saying a couple of things that are very important. One, you're not committing to the 32%. You're saying that that's the expected, because that's a reasonable approach to take. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. But you're also saying that currently the perspective is that if you can't get that, you're going to have to rethink the project to some extent. Is that correct?
I guess the way I would think about it is two things. One, the state will provide different funding for different types of construction. 40% for renovation, state aid, and 28% for new construction for each individual state. So what happens is, was the feedback that we were getting from the community, and we're going to be reaching out for more before we get to this point, we will go to the state with very specific details alongside our architect to explain the individual spaces, and they will review each of the individual projects and, you know, sub-projects within sub-projects. So, you know, cafeteria space, you know, classrooms, removal of the temporary classrooms. Every one of those items will be reviewed in detail, and the determination will be made whether they'll provide 40% or 28% funding against each one of those. So we will know with certainty what it is, what they'll provide for each one of those. When we ultimately go to the public, the chances are we'll go out with two alternatives, that one that is all-inclusive and another that includes a scaled-down version. Again, based on the priorities that based on the feedback we receive from the community in terms of what they want to prioritize.
And again, just to clarify that, you have not completed the feedback gathering mechanism.
No. It's ongoing, and we'll talk about it at the end, but we're about to release a community-wide survey soliciting feedback from every member of the community, and we hope we'll get a very high response rate on that, because that will be very helpful in terms of understanding what people's priorities are.
It is, without committing to it, what is the expected time frame to get an answer back from the state, just so people can get a sense of how long this is going to
stretch? Dan,
yeah, we would hope our plans should go down to the state on or about October 1st of this calendar year.
This year, okay.
And hopefully we will get a response within 4 to 6 weeks.
Is that reasonable for the state? And I'm not being facetious, but I know.
Yes, yeah, they say 2 to 3. We backed it up and doubled that to 4 to 6.
To 4 to 6. So the expectation then would be that this would be on the November ballot, or this would go a referendum in April?
We're looking at an April. Our target date is April ballot.
Okay.
5 or 6 days. Eight. When you can put forth a school referendum.
So help the... and use any numbers that you want, but help the listeners understand how these capital expenditures would impact their taxes. And again, let's work off of what the municipality is working off of, which is the average assessed home value of about $789,000.
All right. First, Councilman Lester, thank you for having me this morning. Stan Borgo. I'll try to keep this in simplistic terms, similar to a home mortgage. That's what we'll be bonding. And we were looking at the $20 million that Mr. Kaplan has referred to. And based on that $20 million, which is a net figure after the state aid, That would be the question that we would be going out to have the voters approve, would be a $20 million referendum. We are estimating between a $930 and $987 increase based on a 20-year payback. We've been in discussion with our bond council, since it is a lot of new construction and it's a brick construction, can we expand that debt service or mortgage out to 30 years? And if we are able to go out to 30 years, the payback would be between $650 and $700 based on the average home assessed at $789,000.
Okay, those are very, very helpful numbers, Dan. Thank you. That is very instructive.
And then, trying to figure out the total cost of ownership as well as our annual school budget, we broke down our tax increase into maybe three layers that you could look at it. Layer one is the layer that we just discussed. Now, layer two, with additional square footage, with additional classrooms, with additional electricity. So we're going to have added expenses based on all of the construction throughout the district. So that's going to be a total cost of ownership that we're looking at. And that can be between maybe $300 to $400 added into that bond referendum. But we are also looking at alternative ways to try to have other savings to offset some of this cost.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I think we came up with a number that's closer to $200 to $300.
$200 to $300.
But again, that's added on top of, in the case of the 20-year, that's added on top of the 930 to 987, just so the listeners are clear.
Right. So hypothetically, in year one, when you're repaying back year one of this, you will have approximately, if we're looking at a 30-year note, you would look at approximately $650 to $700 increase to pay back your long-term debt.
Right.
We would have approximately a $200 to $300 increase for your total cost of ownership would be added staff, added custodial, electrical increases, more area to snow plow, all those other costs associated with that construction. And then the third layer would be our annual school budget that passes every year that we come through with a 2% cap, which is also additional dollars.
Right. I think that this year, I think the average raise this year was, what, $165 from the Board of Ed?
No, I think it was in the 240.
Was it higher?
Yeah, it was a little higher.
Yes.
I don't have my budget number.
No, that's okay. That's okay. All right. No, but I think these are very important points, and I do think that conceptually we have to keep them somewhat simplistic because the final numbers are not in, but at least this gives, first of all, this gives people the sense of what this looks like, but this is, it just helps people put their head around it.
Well, I'd also add, too, with respect to the cost of ownership, I mean, the board, primarily the finance office, Dan and his team, are constantly looking for ways to see whether we can save money, reduce costs. So our hope is and that we can implement some other strategies along the way to defray some of these layers, whether it's the cost of ownership or, you know, our annual increase, annual typical increase in the budget that goes along with the added expenses.
And I'm assuming that at this point it's a little premature to speak about those, but what everybody should know is that you are aggressively looking at alternatives. Is that accurate?
That is correct, yes. We do that every year, but more so with the total cost of ownership, how we could redistribute personnel, how we may have travel teachers, how we could get more for a little less, have people do a little bit more to try to keep that total cost of ownership number as low as possible.
Right. Okay. And that, all of that is appreciated. So potentially over half of the households in town don't have children in the schools and they don't plan to, just the way our demographics are made up. So briefly, why should they vote for the referendum if and when it comes before the voters?
Well, look, the Mount Lake school system is one of the primary foundations around which our community has developed and flourished. Families move to Mount Lake to get the best combination of a high-quality school system along with the benefits of a small community with a special history. You know, we've got friendly neighbors, the lakes and beaches, the parks, distinctive homes, safety and security, all factors which bring people to this community. You find many families stay in Mount Lakes even after their children graduate from our schools because it's a wonderful place to live. People who grew up here move back and want to raise their families here because of the experience they had and remember. And there are even folks who no longer have school-aged children who move here because it's a great community to be a part of. So I would say that voting in favor of the referendum, whether you have children in the schools or not, is an investment in the community.
Okay. Dan, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think there's a direct correlation with real estate value and good school districts. And you could look throughout the state, and those school districts that are I and J factors and that are scoring high with their scores, there's a direct correlation between that and real estate value.
Okay. Good.
We have several members of the steering committee. It happens that Dan and I chair the committee that deals with community outreach. And there are many members of this committee who don't have kids in the school system currently, but did have children in the school system. And at least from their feedback and including themselves, they're very supportive of the project because they see the needs in the school. And we're hoping that a large universe of those families that do live in the community without children will see it the same way. And we would encourage them to reach out to members of the board and members of the steering committee to learn more about the project and understand the implications for our students and therefore the benefit to the community.
Perfect. No, that's great perspective. So look, you started to talk about the survey, and that's kind of under the category of what are the next steps? How does the outreach continue? How does the feedback loop continue? Let's chat about that for a few minutes.
Sure. So a couple of things. First, I would encourage folks who are less familiar with the referendum or not familiar at all to log into the Mount Lake Schools website, which is mlschools.org. And on every page of the website, there's a referendum tab or button, and there's a whole host of information that people can find there from the plans as they currently stand, and we'll update it as plans are revised, their presentations that have been given in the community or at board meetings, as well as responses to frequently asked questions. So there's a wealth of information there. We also anticipate that we'll continue to hold meetings, not just at the Board of Ed meetings, but also around the community to give people more information. And anybody can reach out to the superintendent or anybody else they know on the board for information. And not finally, but certainly the critical next step is that we're in the process of finalizing a referendum survey, which we expect, will be distributed to the entire community within the next few weeks. Because we, as we said before, we're preparing for a public vote on the referendum in April of 2017. So we really want and need to get the feedback from the community. So the survey will provide a lot of detail about the plans. It will review each of the projects one by one. There's pictures that are included and videos to help give sort of a virtual tour. And there are each section and subsection will pose the question in terms of how essential that particular project is to the individual. And the one thing that we're waiting for is each of the project costs. So literally line item costs are highlighted, and we're in the process now of working with FKA to get feedback from them on the rough estimate of what the state aid might be for that project. So people will say, okay, if, you know, renovating the security to do the front entrance at Wildwood would cost $383,000 roughly, how much of that would be funded by the state? So we'll look at it line item by line item, and then how important or essential is that to someone as they review the survey. So it's a lot of good detail, a lot of good information in there, and we hope that we'll get a high response because it's extremely valuable to us to then refine our plan so we can put forth the final proposal to the state.
And we have to make sure everybody understands that this is coming out and sees it, because with everything else that's going on in the world, including our national elections, people's mind share is going to be a little preoccupied, I think.
I would agree with you. There's never a perfect time. There's always something going on. But, you know, hopefully, because it's online, you know, it's a great way for people to take a few minutes of their time for something that's very important. We'll have, you know, a meaningful impact on the community from a positive standpoint and obviously from a taxpayer impact standpoint.
Well, I think you have definitely achieved the objective of this discussion, which is to help folks understand where we are with this project and the financial impact. And I greatly appreciate the time that you've spent and the knowledge that you've shared. Any closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
Well, I would just say a reminder to everybody that this whole project truly is, I think, an investment in the community. And there's lots going on in the community, and there are lots of needs that the community has at the borough level and at the board level. And at the end of the day, you know, we all chose to live here, and we choose to live here because it's a great place to live. And every one of these components, whether it be at the board, the school board level, the school level, or in the borough level, I think personally enhances the value of our properties and the value of the community that we live in.
Good. Dan, closing thoughts from your perspective?
It's that on behalf of the taxpayers of this community that when we're constructing this referendum, the state aid implication that goes along with each project is really being evaluated on a project-by-project basis to try to maximize the amount of state aid to reduce the cost to the local taxpayer in this community.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a great day, and let's do this again at the appropriate time.
Sounds good. And Councilman Lester, thank you for offering to do this for us and with us, I should say. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.